All right, John chapter 13, your Bibles today. John chapter number 13, if you'll turn there this morning. I was just informed that we only have one Bible left, so we're not going to pass out the Bibles this morning like we typically do. So apologies for that. We will make sure we take care of that. Go ahead and hit the lights for me, Antonio. So that's why we're not going to hand out Bibles today. But we'll do that next week. We'll order a case or two this week and make sure that we've got Bibles to hand out next week, as we typically do. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, where we're going to be centering today. Today, really just some introductory thoughts. I'm not going to delve too deep this morning. Just going to kind of preview where we're going for the next few weeks. And then at the conclusion of the service, we're going to have communion together. So thank you so much for coming. And I want to encourage you even now to make an effort to be here the next four Sundays, to be here through the entire series. I think it's going to be a blessing. Now, a couple quick things. Number one, we mentioned this 2 weeks ago when we handed out all the t-shirts and had such a great time there at our anniversary celebration. So I'm going to throw this caveat there. You know, yet again, I'll probably say it each week because I just don't want to be misunderstood. And we've tried to build a really strong foundation and understanding, and understanding that Adventure Church of Yuba City is part of a family of evangelical churches in the greater Yuba Sutter community. And so when we're saying I love my church, we're not saying I love my church. Your church stinks. What's wrong with you over there? I love my, you know, it's not about that. It's not about creating territory and, you know, we're better than anybody else. We are not. You know, we're not better than anybody else. But this is an opportunity for us to celebrate the community that God has brought together. And those of us that call Adventure Church of Yuba City home, we love this church and we love what God is doing here. And we want to celebrate that. And we want to take the time over these next few weeks to celebrate and to learn what the church needs to be about. And so this has been a little bit of a pattern for us. And so if you've been with us for a while, you'll know that in January, February of each year that we've existed as a church, we've taken from 4 to 6 weeks to talk about what the Bible teaches about the church. And that's very intentional because as we started Adventure Church of Yuba City, we wanted to be sure that ingrained into our DNA, ingrained into our culture, was just a true biblical foundational understanding of what the church is really supposed to be about. We don't take for granted that everybody just knows what church is supposed to be about. The Bible is very clear about the purposes of the church, and so as a young church, as a newer church, we feel a very strong burden to be sure that we start out the year with just a really strong foundational principles as to what the church is really all about, and so that's what we're going to be doing this year. And we're going to do it probably next year as well. When I was reading, and I meant to bring the book, I forgot, it's still on my shelf in my office, but someone's writings that I've been heavily influenced by as relates to church planting. I've shared the story before of Nelson Searcy, who planted a church in Manhattan, and he was supposed to have his opening service the week, which ended up being the week of 9/11. He was supposed to have his opening service the Sunday after the Tuesday, which turned out to be 9/11. And just a very compelling story, and he's written just some wonderful works about church planting and church systems that I have just really benefited by, and I know, you know, several others have benefited by. And in his one book called Launch, which is a book that talks primarily about church planting, there's a sobering statistic embedded in those pages, and that is only one out of five church plants makes it to year five. Only one out of five makes it to year five. And that's just surviving to year five. That's not thriving. That's not healthy. That's just a cold statistic it talks about survivability. 20% of the churches that started 5 years later are no longer in existence. And so we've just celebrated year three. And so now we're entering into our fourth year. But I take that stat, you know, very, we need to be humble, church. We need to be humble. We're grateful for all that God has done. We're grateful for the people and the resources and the staff and the vision that we have to go into our permanent location here around Easter time. We're excited about all those things, but man, let's not ever take it for granted. Let's not just assume, yeah, we've arrived, because the moment we step down that pathway, there may be some real trouble ahead. So I've just really been challenged by that, and so I've been real intentional for those first 5 years. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take some time at the beginning of the year to focus on what the Bible teaches about the church, because I just want to be sure that we're doing all that we can from the pulpit to help us understand, then the small groups then unpack that information as well, and it's just a great opportunity for us to get connected to the scripture together. Okay? Okay, so, and as I said, if you didn't get a shirt, grab one later. We've got wristbands out there too, so if you don't want to wear a shirt or don't need a shirt or don't want a shirt or you didn't miss the wristbands for, the wristbands out there too you can wear, and just a great reminder to be praying for us as we go through this series together. There are different places, locations, buildings that we eventually have to visit in life. Places that we just have to go. I've got to get there. I've got to get to this place. Kind of like me this last week, I went to Wrigley Field, home of the 2015 World Series champions. You're going to be so sick of me saying that. Believe me, I'll stop saying it about the middle of May, okay? So let me live in my wonderland, okay, for just a few months, okay? But I was down in Chicago for this week for the conference, and had a great time, but I built a couple days in before and a day after so I could visit some family and friends and connect with some people, and I was like, man, I'm so close. I've got to go down to Wrigley Field. And so I went down to Wrigley Field because I had to visit. I had to go and check it out. But I'm not really talking about those kinds of places. I'm talking about the places that we have to go, you know, like school. Like you have to go to school. It's not a place maybe that you want to go all the time, but it's certainly a place that you have to go. So let me throw a couple of images up here, and let me get some feedback. You know, what are some of the things that you think about? What are some of the words that come to mind when you see these different places? So here's a place that you have to visit. Oh, enough said. Enough said, right? So what are some thoughts immediately come to mind? Going to the DMV. Fun? Waiting? Patience? Boring? What was that? Expensive? All right, cool. Maybe not the most fun place to go, but it's a place that you have to go from time to time. Okay, here's the next one. Boy. PG, you're really lifting me up today. What's the deal? You know, DMV, doctor's office. What are you thinking about? Yeah, paychecks? Yeah, paycheck. Some of you work in the metal industry, so yeah, go to the doctor more. All right, what else? Somebody over here. Ouch, shots. My favorite, yeah. What else? What was that? Waiting, yes, waiting. Okay. Here's another one. This one's maybe a little bit more fun. Okay, so the grocery store. You've got to go to the grocery store. So what comes to mind? Chaos? Okay, money? Fun? Donuts? All right, good deal. All right, now hit this next one. Okay, so here's the church. So you've got a place in your bulletin. You've got a place where your notes, okay? And let's talk just a really quick moment about, you know, people's perception. You don't need to jot some things down. I'm not going to go around and grade your papers or, you know, take a look at what you're doing. But you know, think about your sphere. Think about your family, your friends, maybe even yourself. Opinions about church, thoughts about church. You know, what are the perceptions that people have about church in your life? Take just a minute and jot a couple things down. So maybe your coworkers or family members. What do most people think of church? Okay, just take a minute. Okay, and then the next question is, what do you think of Adventure Church? What do you think of when you think of Adventure Church? Church. So, you know, we just had those visuals up there. So you got the DMV, you got the doctor's office, you got the grocery store, and then boom, there's Adventure Church. What are some of the words, you know, that you would use to describe? Incidentally, paychecks is what I think of too. Amazing how that works. No. you know, what do you think of? What are some of the things that come to mind when you think of Adventure Church? Now, those first three things that we looked at, not the most ravest of reviews, right? People aren't quite as excited about those things. And one of the things that we think about when it relates to the church and our study of the church and our understanding of the church is that we live in a culture, we live in a time and a place when the esteem of the church is not what it once was. People don't have the same kind of view of church that they once did. Sometimes it's a very hostile feeling. You know, some of the same words that we would use to describe these other things that were listed up on the screen, there would be people, you know, that live very, very close to us, people that we work with every day, they would use those exact same words to describe church. They would use those exact same words to describe this gathering of people on Sunday. You know, what is that about? They just don't understand at all what it is. And our responsibility is to be sure that we are taking a biblical approach to what's the church supposed to be about, and are we conveying that in a way that people truly understand. Now, people aren't always going to agree, and people aren't always going to get it and understand, but let that not be because we've not done a good job of presenting what the Bible teaches about the church. And when it comes to people's misperceptions about the church, those misperceptions need to be combated against by us and the attitudes that we have as it relates to the church. God created the church. It was His idea to build a community of people. And God's plan for the church is not one that would be in the attitude that we oftentimes see of, oh, I've got to go to that place. I have to go to the doctor. I have to go to church. That's not in any way God's intent for the church, and it's not our intent for this church. And when God, you know, began to show me and reveal to me through counsel and through prayer the potential and possibility of planting this new work in our community, a community that we love deeply into our bones, that this would be a place where a community could be gathered together to reach out into a community that needs the message of the gospel. That has always been at the heart of what we've desired for this church. That it not just be a gathering on Sunday, but it be a place where we come together on Sunday to be equipped and then released to go back out into our world, into our school, into our work, into our neighborhood, into our spheres of influence, and be a gospel messenger wherever we might be. And I'm so grateful. And as we've had the opportunity the last couple weeks to really just thank God for His provision and His blessing on our church for now these 3 years, and as we enter into year number 4, for that to continue to be our heartbeat, for that continue to be what God wants us to be about. God wants us to love the church, not love what we see in the news sometimes or maybe have experienced in the past, but love the church as He intended it to be, and that's what this series is going to be about. People have been hurt by church. People have been burned by church. And as we study what the church, big C, needs to be about, and we're just a little c, we want to strive to be like the big C, the big church, what God has ordained in His word that the church should be about. So I want us to begin in John chapter 13 and look at verses 34 and 35. In fact, I'd like us to read this together. Okay, we don't do this a lot. But I think in this case, it would be worthwhile to do. Okay, so let's all read together. I'll say the reference, and then let's all dive in. Okay, John 13, 34, and 35. Let's say it together. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. A new commandment. Love one another. This is the means. This is going to be the indicator to the people around you. This is how they're going to know you're my disciples. This is how they're going to know that you are followers of me, Jesus says, is if you have love for one another. It's not going to be the kind of building that you meet in. It's not going to be the amount of classes that you offer. It's not going to be how smart you are. It's not going to be about the money that you raise. It's going to be about the community of love that you're building in your midst. By this, will all know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. That would be the hallmark. That would be the standard by which people will be able to judge whether we are a people of God or not. And that is if we have love for one another. Versus a prelude of the church to come. The church will start in Acts, but here we find Jesus meeting with his disciples, telling them how his followers should be known, what the reputation will be of this community he is creating. They will be a people known for their love for one another. Church people are meant to love one another. It's not optional. It's not an elective. It's not like you're going through the course book, you know, college, you know, when you're going into college, like, I don't want that one. That one doesn't really fit my schedule. That one doesn't really fit my dynamic at all. No, this isn't an elective. This isn't optional. This is a command of Jesus that we love one another. But what does that mean? What does it mean to love one another? When we say we want to love the church as God intended it and us to be, what do we mean by love? Now, let me illustrate it a couple of ways, okay? So, you may be here this morning and you have some things that you love. I mentioned, you know, in my video yesterday about how, you know, I love the Chicago Cubs and you love, you know, the San Francisco Giants or you love, you know, whomever, you know, Pete's here. Where's Pete at? Pete's here and his, there he is. He's got his Seahawks jersey on and he is ready to roll. Loving a team or loving a place. When I was back east, I stopped off at Pepe's restaurant. So Pepe's is a Mexican restaurant that I grew up with as a child, and it is by far one of the most favorite restaurants I know of that I've ever had. And whenever we go back to Chicago, it's like appointment viewing. You know, you got to go to Pepe's at least one time. And I did go one time with my family and had an amazing time. And I'm so glad that they're in Chicago, not in California, because if they were in California, I would be 500 pounds. It's a good thing, okay? But maybe you have a place like that, like you love, you know, a certain restaurant, you love a team, you love, you know, so I say I love Pepe's. I walked out of there saying, man, I loved that taco. I love, just there's so much about it that there is to love. You say, I love a restaurant. Okay, now let's use the same word. Let's look at another illustration. Okay, here's Gracie. Okay, and Gracie is going to be 9 years old here in a couple of months, and she's still missing her two front teeth. And so it's really, really cute. Now, I hope that by the time she's like 12, 13, 14 years old, she has her two front teeth, because it probably won't be cute much longer. But I love this picture of Gracie, and I love, so when we were back in Illinois and talking about family and whatnot, you know, Gracie's the true Californian. You know, the other kids were born in Illinois, so a lot of the people have met, you know, my two oldest kids, even though they're younger, but very few people, you know Gracie, so they always want to hear about Gracie and what's Gracie like, and I love talking about Gracie, and I love talking about her smile, and I love talking about her giggles, and I love talking about how she does, you know, gymnastics in the house, and she just is a very fun, loving kid that we are just so blessed to have in our lives. So when I say I love Pepe's, and I say I love Gracie, am I saying the same thing? Hopefully not, right? You shouldn't be, Pastor Greg, if you are, okay? No, I'm saying two completely different things. Why? Because I'm looking at a restaurant, so take the restaurant as the example. I'm taking the restaurant. What am I doing at the restaurant? Well, I'm judging the food, and I'm judging the service, and, you know, I can go on Yelp, and I can make a review on Yelp, and, like, you know, the service is really good, or, you know, the salsa was just amazing, and I'm a consumer, right? It's all about pleasing me, and here's my list of expectations, and these are the things that I am looking for when I go into a Pepe's, and when they meet my expectations, I walk out saying, I love Pepe's. Now, Gracie, on the other hand, I don't judge my love of Gracie based on the things that she does. In fact, if I did, it probably wouldn't go well in many respects, okay? There's lots of things that she, you know, needs to learn. There's a lot of behavioral things. You know, we're training her and we're teaching her and we're trying to show her and model for her and be patient with her and all these things. But my love for Gracie is based on the fact that I have a relationship with Gracie. She's my child. She lives in my home. She's part of my family. I'm not going on to Yelp and leaving reviews about Gracie. 3 stars. Not too great of an attitude, you know, today. I love Gracie regardless of those things. Because when I look at my relationship with Gracie, or I look at my relationship with a member of my family, it's not based on a consumerism type of an approach, where I've got this checklist of all these things that, you know, if they don't measure up, I'm going over to the next kid. You know, I'm gonna try to adopt this kid over here because my kid over here is not measuring up, like we would with a restaurant. You know, I won't go eat a Jack in the Box. Sorry. I know where Cody's at. You know, Cody like worked. I'm like, Cody, dude, sorry, man. Like, I can't go, because when we first came to Yuba City, we've got this little rule. Like, whenever we go someplace, we try not to eat where we could eat if we're at home. So, like, when we go to Sacramento, we used to always eat at Chili's. Well, now we don't eat at Chili's in Sacramento because now we have one in Yuba City. So we always eat at Arby's or something like that. You know, it's something that we don't have in Yuba City. So when we came out to California to visit 12 years ago now, we're like, we got to try something different. So we go to Jack in the Box. All got sick. We all got sick. Went to Jack in the Box. Like, man, that was not a good experience at all. So then we ended up moving to California. So, you know, 3-4 months later, like, you know, let's give it one more try. You know, maybe it was just a bad experience. You know, we want to try something new. We're brand new to Yuba City. We went into Jack in the Box again. We all got sick. And so you know what? We don't go to Jack in the Box anymore. And we actually have a name for Jack in the Box, which I'm not going to say because we're recording. But if you'd like to know what it is, you can check with me afterwards, and we don't go to Jack in the Box. So we don't have a good experience. We go on to the next thing. We go on to the next place. When it comes with our relationships, we don't do that. At least we shouldn't do that. We're accepting. We're loving. We're caring. We're in this together. Why? Because we're a family. So everybody can see where I'm going? So when we bring this attitude of loving the church, and when we're saying loving the church, loving the people in the church, loving the community, do we have a checklist? Well, if this is the way, and if this is the way, and if this is the way, and look, I totally get that there are preferences, there are stylistic things. You know, every church is a little bit different. Okay, so I'm not talking about it at that kind of a level. Okay? But when we're here and we're together and we've committed to being a part of this local body congregation, we're committing to each other to be a part of this community of faith, we got to take that clipboard and throw it away. Because we need to accept each other and love each other and be there for each other regardless of where the clipboard is. Why? Because we're in relationship with each other. Because the Bible teaches that the hallmark characteristic of the church would be our love for one another. And when I'm disappointed, or I'm discouraged, or I'm let down, or whatever the case might be, by one of my children, I don't push them aside and go on to the next one. Work through it, talk through it, pray through it. Why? Because we love. We love each other. What does it mean to love one another? Does he want us to love one another like I loved my experience at the restaurant? Or does he want me to love the church like I do my daughter? With the restaurant, I was experiencing something given to me, a place offering me something. The restaurant fed me and provided a moment in which I could participate. If the experience itself was excellent, I could rate it and recommend it to others. If it was the opposite type of experience, I wouldn't return and I'd tell others to avoid. With my daughter, I was experiencing an important relationship. My daughter is someone I am intrinsically connected with. My love for her isn't based on what I'm receiving or experiencing, but based on who she is and what is involved in our relationship. Because I love her, I care for her, I play with her, we go through life together. That journey might bring about some not so great experiences, but we work through those. Why? Because I love her. And that's the attitude. That is what God wants the church to be infused with. Love for one another. The church was never meant to be like a restaurant. It's meant to be based on relationships. This begins first and foremost in a relationship with Jesus. And through that, we are connected to one another. Jesus loves us and brought us into relationship with himself. In just a few minutes, we're going to participate in communion. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. And what is this a demonstration of? It's do this in remembrance of me. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this world to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be brought into a right relationship with God. And that right relationship with God, the result of that is not just a relationship with God, but a relationship with others who believe in Jesus Christ. We brought into a family of faith, and we are connected to one another. Many people treat the church like a restaurant. If the experience isn't just to their liking, they'll find somewhere else or not go at all, which is, of course, beyond unfortunate. It sets up expectations for the church that it was never intended to fill. And we have to be honest, that isn't relationships focused, it's self-focused. We've got to be careful about that because that's not loving as Jesus loved. This loves as I see fit, am comfortable with, and for my own gain, and the church isn't supposed to be like that. You'll experience a love for the church when you intentionally love the church. You'll have a deep sense of love for the church when you actively and intentionally practice love for the church. And the opposite, of course, is also true. So what does it look like to intentionally love the church? And what is the rest of this series going to be about? So let me just mention these few things. Love by connecting, by serving, by giving, and by sharing. So by connecting, being in community, in fellowship, in relationship with each other, more than just knowing people's names, which, let's face it, we have a hard enough time with that, right? Who are, working on a church photo directory right now. We're going to hopefully help with some of that. But it's more than just knowing people's names and where they sit on a Sunday morning. We love one another when we stand alongside one another. Being connected with one another is ensuring that no one stands alone. Being part of a community of faith and connecting with each other. So that's what we're going to be talking about, our primary emphasis next week. Love by serving. God has given each of his followers supernaturally empowered abilities to encourage and help one another and the community. You have superpowers. We're going to talk about some of those superpowers in a couple of weeks. And one of the ways that we intentionally love is by serving. You notice the date in your bulletin, March 15th. Mark that date down. That is going to be the church, reach the city. I'm so excited about this initiative where we're going to come to church. And we're also, and don't hold me to this, but I'm working on it, the possibility of meeting not here but at the new building that Sunday morning for breakfast. And then rather than having a service that Sunday morning, we're going to go out. We're going to go out and we're going to serve in the community during church time. So the church has left the building, and we're going to do, Lord willing, a nursing home service. We're going to go down to the river bottoms and feed the homeless. We're going to go clean up parks. We're going to clean around Ellis Lake. We're putting projects and things together, and we want to hear from you. So if you're out there and you know of some projects or some things that could be done in the community, things at schools, things at parks, please let us know about that. Communicate that with us, because on February 15th, our plan is to have those things set. So those of you that are on the team, we're a week ahead, so we've got another week to line up these things. We're going to go out because we want to be a church that's about serving our community and then serving, of course, within the church. I want to say another thing. We put the call out. Nicole Moulton, we brought on as our children's director here a couple weeks ago, and already doing a great job and making such a positive influence. And we put the challenge out there. We said we need 16 people. We need four adults per Sunday, one Sunday a month to work with our children. And man, you guys just answered the call, and I'm just so grateful for that. And so we've got so many good volunteers working with our kids now. We've got people helping out back there in media, and I can't start listing people because I'll leave somebody out. But just thank you for doing that. We want to continue to foster that kind of environment and attitude. And we're talking about what it means to love by serving. Love by giving. Yeah, we're going to talk about giving, but it's not going to be the standard, hey, you need to be tithing more, you need to be giving in the offering. There's so much more involved than just what we're doing with our wallets. The spirit of giving and the attitude of giving and the attitude that we have about others within the body and the ministry God has called us to do goes way beyond just dropping something in the offering plate or going on PayPal and making an online contribution or whatever it is, however it is that you give to our church. We're going to talk about love by giving. And then the last week, March 1st, love by sharing. The love that Jesus gives to us and that we can have for one another isn't to be hoarded within the walls of the church. The love that we have for one another is also meant to show our community what the love of Jesus looks like. If we aren't sharing the love of God with our words and deeds, then we aren't truly loving. And so we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about what it means to take this love of Jesus outside these walls and be sharing that message of good news with a lost and dying world. So I invite you to stick with us for these next 4 weeks as we dig into each one of these areas, and then in our small groups have an opportunity to really talk about how we can apply these things and really put them into practice. So two things in closing just want to leave you with, okay? Number one, let people know that you love your church, okay? Let people know that you love your church. You know, that these T-shirts are great. They're a great conversation starter. You know, when I'm walking around, you know, the community, and I see some kid or some adult with a Star Wars shirt or some kind of Marvel Avengers shirt on, I'm like, dude, great shirt. I love that. And it you know, picks up a little conversation, or maybe it's a sports team, or maybe it's a band, or, you know, there's little things like that. And I'd love to hear your stories. You know, if you're out there and you're wearing your shirt and it provokes some kind of conversation with somebody, I would love to hear some of those stories. Let people know that you love your church. Because that may be the conversation that God uses to draw that person into a saving relationship with Him. Don't underestimate the power of that. Let other people know. I had a great conversation with Tyrone yesterday at Chicago Midway Airport. And I wasn't wearing my shirt, but I was working on the PowerPoint for the message. And he was looking over my shoulder, and he saw all the graphics for the I Love My Church. And we ended up talking for about 30 minutes, and he was telling me his story. He's from Dallas. He was telling me his story about how God had, he felt like God had been calling him into ministry at some point in his life, but he kind of put the brakes on that, and he just wasn't sure what to do. And he felt like God had sent me at that moment at Chicago Midway Airport to be working on that message about the church and to strike up a conversation with the pastor. And so now we've got each other's names and numbers, and we're going to communicate with each other. Here's a guy I met at the airport, Tyrone. I'm like, God bless you, brother. And he's like, God bless you. I'll talk to you soon. And we're going to see what God does in Tyrone's life. Never underestimate. Never underestimate what God can do with the very smallest of things. And then secondly, get connected in an I Love My Church group. Really want to encourage that. It's 5 weeks. You've got the list in your bulletin. And even if you can't commit maybe to one for the entire 5 weeks, find a group. Find a group this week. They're every single night. Find a group. Get connected. Get to know some people and see what God might want to teach you as we begin this exciting journey together. I'm excited. I want you to be excited. Looking forward to what God is going to do as we explore these truths together. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the church. Thank you for the relationships that we find here. Lord, I'm sure, I have no doubt that I'm talking to somebody here this morning that doesn't feel connected, does feel alone, does feel outside of the community. Lord, I pray that you would just reach down and touch that person today. May they know two things. Number one, that you love them. You love them so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for their sins, that even today, in this moment, they can call upon you in faith and become a part of the family of God. We thank you for that. But Lord, may they, number two, know that they're in a place where they can be loved and supported and encouraged. And even when we don't measure up, even when the checklist doesn't quite pan out the way we hoped it would, they're still in a place where they can be loved. May each person here know that, dear God. That is my prayer. The world will know that we are your followers when we have love for one another. Lord, maybe someone here has been challenged. They're living kind of isolated. Lord, you need to take them out of their comfort zone just a little bit. And they need to reach out to somebody today. They need to invite somebody out to lunch, or they need to connect with somebody over Starbucks this week, or they need to do something more than just come to church on Sunday morning and sit. They need to begin engaging in community with other people. So, Father, give them that courage, give them that boldness, because that's not an easy thing. Pray that you'd help them. Lord, ultimately, we want this to be a church that is about you and our love for you and our desire to please you and to be a lighthouse in this community. And I pray, Lord, that as we go through this series, that you would bless it, that you would give us the teaching that we need to be that kind of a church. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.